Welcome to the NutraCast, a production by Nutra Ingredients USA. I'm Danielle Masterson. Thank you for joining me here on the NutraCast, where we talk and share insights from inside the nutrition industry. A new paper is out titled Safety Considerations for Dietary Supplement Manufacturers in the United States. Today, we're going to dig into the current state of GMP compliance with one of the paper's authors. Joining me now is the Consumer Healthcare Products Association's VP of Regulatory and Scientific Affairs, Dr. Jay Sirois. Hi, Jay, and welcome to the NutraCast.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. So why don't we start off by talking about this paper you co-authored alongside several CHPA manufacturers. It was in the Journal of Regulatory Toxicology and Pharmacology. Tell me about the paper and maybe what inspired it.
Sure. So for CHPA members, dietary supplement safety is really a high priority for, you know, for our members that market these products. And one of the things that I had been responsible for my first 10 years or so at CHPA was doing a monthly meeting with our supplement committee members, member manufacturers. And during one of those meetings, and several of those meetings, actually, we were talking about the importance of product stewardship and how quality, safety, compliance are really important right from the start of when you're even considering to market an ingredient in a dietary supplement. So we had a member suggestion about, you know, maybe we could compare how companies evaluate dietary ingredient supplement safety, like the types of information you might want to consider, where to find this information. And that really, I think, highlights the value of being in a trade association, that you can collaborate with you know, different types of members and you know, maybe competitors, and share information and insight into these types of topics. And so we know that the framework for establishing supplement safety includes a lot of different elements, you know, robust processes of ingredient selection, sourcing, formulation, labeling, manufacturing, things like that, you know, post-marketing requirements. And our manufacturer members that are in the supplement space really have extensive expertise in each of these areas. And when we looked at the literature, the peer-reviewed literature, we saw that there really wasn't a manuscript out there that kind of documented that robust framework that's necessary for approaching supplement and ingredient safety. So we kicked this process off probably almost 3 years ago, and ultimately got this published in Regulatory Toxicology and Pharmacology just a month or so ago.
Wow, so 3 years in the making.
Yeah, it was a long time. It's certainly a labor of love. We had a number of different conference calls to discuss it, a number of different drafts. But there was a lot of work that went into this with our membership, for sure.
So obviously you covered quite a bit, but if you could, I mean, what would you say are some of the biggest takeaways from this?
Well, I guess I'll start by saying that given both the significant growth of the industry and the number of consumers that are using supplements to maintain their health, that really highlights the need for dietary supplement manufacturers to adopt a comprehensive safety approach for everything that goes into a supplement, you know, the ingredients, the components, you know, how are you evaluating the finished product? And the paper kind of covers all of the regulatory requirements and the best practices throughout the life cycle of a product, you know, manufacturing, packaging, labeling, monitoring adverse events. So there were a number of different ways we could go. You know, we kind of broke it out into what are the pre-market considerations that you have to consider. Basically, you know, what's the relevant universe of data that's out there for a potential dietary ingredient that will allow you to do this robust safety assessment? And that includes things like, you know, are there standard values established, like a, you know, an upper limit or a margin of exposure? Is there a history of safe use available? For a botanical, what part of the plant are you using to make the ingredient? We talk about a number of issues on supplier qualification, you know, areas to address like residual solvents. Is the ingredient bioengineered? We talk about the CD guidelines, which are really, you know, the standardized information on dietary ingredients, which are really aimed at helping manufacturers and their supplier qualification efforts. Another big topic is the regulatory pathways that are available for marketing a supplement. So is it an old dietary ingredient? If it is, what evidence do you have that it was marketed, pre-94? Is it a new dietary ingredient? Has it been used in a conventional food in a non-chemically altered form, in which case you could do an independent GRAS conclusion? What are some of the unique considerations within the different ingredient categories like vitamins, minerals, botanicals? How are you handling your finished product assessment and your post-marketing surveillance? And I guess, that a lot of stuff. Lastly, I'll mention we have a table in there that at the end, it's kind of an appendix that talks about some of the elements of the regulatory pathways that you can use to market a supplement in terms of what are the defined requirements in the CFR. Do you have to submit a document to FDA? What are the key parameters you need to look at? Is the information publicly available? So we try to do this kind of soup to nuts overview of everything to consider if you were a manufacturer, and kind of put it all in one place when you're looking at safety of ingredients and dietary supplements. So we try to be as comprehensive as possible for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like you got very granular with it. What would you say is the current state of GMP compliance?
Well, certainly compliance with GMPs is a very important part of product safety. The paper itself, we discuss the importance of setting and verifying specifications for things like overages, environmental contaminants, residual solvents, heavy metals, all of which can directly impact product safety. In addition, we talk about packaging and product stability and how those are also very important to consider within the overall product safety evaluation. And in addition, of course, it's important to point out, and we did in the paper, that safety assessments don't end once a product is marketed. Manufacturers are required to monitor and record the occurrence of adverse events reported in association with the product use. So, we didn't get into the current state of the compliance with GMPs in terms of what percent of the industry is not following the GMPs. Of course, we're advocating, and I think the responsible industry wants everyone to follow the GMPs, but we wanted to kind of put all of this information in one place that will allow anyone, either whether you're a seasoned veteran within the supplement industry and know all of this stuff like the back of your hand, or if you're someone new coming into it, you could refer to this as kind of a one-stop shop.
Okay, so you didn't actually look at, specifics in terms of GMP compliance, who's compliant, who's not. But I mean, do you think it's an issue?
Well, I can only really speak for CHPA member companies and tell you that, we have our members are certainly committed, and I think the vast majority of the industry itself is committed to, maintaining robust adherence to the GMPs. Certainly, consumer trust is a responsibility that our members take very seriously, and our members certainly, they abide by all the regulations, guidelines, procedures, whatever that are outlined in the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, and they strictly adhere to the GMPs. Now, of course, you do see articles that tend to make the headlines about companies that are not following the GMPs, and unfortunately, that oftentimes might paint the industry with a broad brush. But I think certainly our members, and I think the vast majority of folks are in the supplement industry, are committed to this and to putting out quality products.
It is always curious when you see companies who aren't compliant. GMPs are baseline. So if you can't do the basic responsibilities, why are you in the industry?
Yeah, exactly. The regulations are out there, and they really provide a framework to establish product safety. And again, I think I mentioned earlier about, there's a lot of folks that are using supplements. They are depending on industry and manufacturers to provide high quality products to them. And it's unfortunately when companies either don't have the expertise or ignore their obligation to establish the safety of supplements that it can impact, the overall industry. So, you know, the importance of adhering to the regulations, following the GMPs, and putting out quality products really, really can't be stressed enough that it is critical. It should be job one.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm just thinking about all the technological advancements like AI that I'm hearing so much about lately. Could AI or something like that help with compliance and regulation in any way?
That's a good question. I guess let me first start by saying we didn't cover AI in our paper, but we certainly know that FDA is engaged in this area on a number of different fronts. I'll point out there was a publication last year that was a collaboration between FDA and several ex-US regulatory authorities. And it was something, I don't remember the exact title, but it was something along the lines of, you know, artificial intelligence and real world data for food and drug safety, something like that. And what that paper did was go through a number of topics, including AI, that could assist regulatory science for both food and drug safety. And a couple of things I'll highlight from that paper. One of them was this tool that FDA is using. It's called Warp Intelligent Learning Engine, or Wiley, they call it. And it's kind of like an advanced data-driven decision-making tool that's being used by the Office of Food Additive Safety at CIFSAN, which utilizes the power of big data to identify food safety trends and allows OFAS, the Food Additive Safety Office, to take an advanced look into the market and allows them to kind of prioritize actions based on risk. I know this process, this Wiley engine, it's underway, the development of it, and I'm not sure exactly of the specifics or how much it's being used, but it certainly is underway in various phases. Another effort is called FoodTrack, which is something that kind of provides a more comprehensive, efficient, and accurate solution for monitoring the U.S. food supply, looking at post-marketing label and nutrition data from packaged and restaurant foods, as well as dietary supplements. I did see that there was an abstract out there online that FDA has published. So, you know, we know that FDA is engaged in AI-related topics on a number of different issues. I know another one is they have an AI-imported seafood program, which kind of uses AI to strengthen the import screening and to ensure that seafood entering the U.S. is safe. But lots of stuff going on with AI for sure. And I think we will see more of it with supplements in the future.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I'm going to have to check out FoodTrack and Wiley. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
So Deshae is turning 30 this year. I'm wondering, do you expect any updates to it? And if so, what are you expecting or hoping for?
Well, I will start by saying our overall objective is to make sure that consumers have continued access to high quality and safe supplements. What we expect is that FDA and other influential stakeholders in the space will continue to call for mandatory product listing for dietary supplements. We're not opposed to that, to the legislation that would include product listing, if the legislation is well crafted and includes more than just a mandatory product listing requirement. We would like to see it address other areas of dietary supplement regulation that really need to be modernized to keep pace with this growing industry. Things like fixing the IND preclusion issue to foster innovation in the category, to identify ways to fill the gap in the number of GMP inspections. You know, we know the overall number of facilities that gets inspected every year is rather low, so we'd like to see ways to enhance that. You know, bottom line really is that industry growth and the regulations have not kept pace over the years. And CHPA for many years has been advocating for the FDA needing new tools to really efficiently support innovation and transparency and informed decision making, but also having the enforcement tools that allow them to come back down on the bad actors that are out there marketing adulterated products.
What would you say is the biggest holdback? Is it money, resources, just way too many companies out there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not involved in the day-to-day of that. So I would say, you know, sometimes it's difficult when you have a number of different stakeholders and different perspectives that might have slightly different viewpoints on the issue. So I think at the end of the day, everyone wants to see a well-regulated supplement industry. It's just sometimes when you get down into the sausage making of legislation that it becomes difficult when certain folks have priorities that others don't share. So that's my interpretation. I don't know that's CHPA's official position, but it's just, you know, I think there's folks at the end of the day, they want to see things going well in the industry, but sometimes it's just difficult.
Yeah, Jay, I've listened in on a number of FDA webinars, and one message I hear pretty frequently is they want the trade associations to be on the same page. And it's hard when, you know, things like MPLs leave the trade so divided.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think there's a number of different trade associations, of course, as you know, each with a kind of a separate membership. And again, I think all of them would like to see a very well-regulated dietary supplement industry with everybody following GMPs. But it's just that, you know, given the number of stakeholders involved, you know, sometimes you need to get everybody on the same page to move the ball forward. And I think that that's the goal. I think that's what we're working towards. And I think we're making progress.
Mm-hmm. And so before I let you go, what is next for CHPA? Do you have any news or updates or announcements?
Yeah, we are looking forward to a number of upcoming CHPA events. We have our annual self-care leadership coming up next month. That's where attendees will have opportunities to listen to and network with regulatory leaders from across the supplement industry. Of course, this cuts the meeting itself cuts across all of the product categories that we represent, which is OTCs, medical devices, and dietary supplements. Dr. Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA commissioner, is going to provide the keynote talk there and share insights on a number of important areas, like what's the future of medical innovation. We spoke about AI. I know he's going to talk about that. You know, how can we unlock the promise of new technologies like that, or things like digital health or regenerative medicine? And another topic is, what are the key scientific advances that are most likely to transform health outcomes and the delivery of medicine in the near future? So looking forward to that event. And then my favorite event that we have is our Regulatory Scientific and Quality Conference. That's later this year in September. So we are starting the planning process for this meeting right now. Again, covering all the categories, supplements, OTC drugs, and medical devices that we represent. This is a meeting where we always have a very strong FDA presence. I think last year we had something like 60 folks from FDA there, including leaders from the Office of Dietary Supplement Products. You know, we always have some great talks on cutting edge issues related to supplements. So really, really looking forward to that. And again, we're just kind of starting the planning, but making good progress there.
And I will be there. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Awesome.
CHPA's Dr. Jay Sirois, thank you so much for breaking down safety considerations for supplement manufacturers here on the NutriCast.
Thanks for having me, Danielle.
If you like what you just heard, you can subscribe to the NutriCast wherever you get your podcast. You can also head to NutraIngredients-USA.com for even more Nutra-related content. Thank you for listening. I'm Danielle Masterson. As always, I'll catch you here on the NutriCast next week.